if you are thinking about buying a book. You know what? Today, don't buy it from Amazon. Today, go to John, J-O-N, speedbooks.com and buy it there instead. John, thank you so much.
When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores desperate to get food.
Regulation. What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits here on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. Man, it feels good to say that, doesn't it? On the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network, I'm King Ginger, and if you're watching this show right now, I just want to say this, and you have not listened to A.D. Robles' podcast that he just launched on Fight, Laugh, Feast Network, if you have not listened to that, what you need to do is you need to just stop listening. Just stop. It's okay. You can come back to it. So go and listen to his podcast. Just soak that in. And then you can come back and watch this mess of a show. And AD, I'm telling you what's so great about this network is that someone like AD comes on and you go, I got to step up my game on this show. And that's what we're going to try to do tonight. We're going to try to step up our game, but make sure you go and listen to his show. We have a lot to discuss, abortion. I'm going to talk about the March for Life. And then we're going to talk about what happened with John Speed this week. And then we're going to talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her theology. We're going to do a Bible study with her, because she apparently likes to use the Bible now to defend her policy positions, which I say is fantastic. Bring it on. We need more of that stuff. We need more politicians using the Bible to defend their policy positions. You know, even though it's way off, and even though she only uses the scripture that she wants to use, I'm at least glad that a politician is using scripture. So here's what the AOC said about the Bible for the purposes of protecting the environment. Which, I mean, okay. Genesis 1, God looked on the world and called it good, not once, not twice, but seven times. Genesis 2, God protected. Genesis 2, God commands all people to serve and protect creation. It's true. Leviticus, God mandates that not only the people, but the land that sustains them shall be respected. It's interesting that she's going to the Old Testament and books like Leviticus to support her policy opinions. I wish she'd go to Leviticus a lot more often to support her policy positions. But then she wouldn't be able to support her policy positions. Oh, man. So let's just, right off the bat here, she's not wrong. Christians are entrusted to subdue the earth, as it says in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Our command is to go out into the world, be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue the earth. And so that's part of the dominion mandate. Part of the dominion mandate is taking care of the earth. And that, I know it's going to bother people, but yes, that does mean taking care of the environment. Christians should be concerned with taking care of the environment. It's important. It's like the first thing that God had Adam do in the garden was environmental. It was to take all the animals, to name them according to what they do. It was science and it was art all at the same time. He was to be creative, but also to essentially be a biologist or a zoologist and to look at these animals to see what they do, to see how they interact and name them accordingly. That was a creative act involved in that scientific act. So that's the first thing Adam was commanded to do. He was commanded to beautify this garden, to make it beautiful, because beauty is a place where God dwells. And then we as Christians are to go out into all the world as part of the Great Commission, teaching, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them with all the authority of Jesus Christ, by the way. So the Great Commission reemphasizes what was given, the commands that were given to us in Genesis. And I think we should care about the environment. We shouldn't just destroy the world that God has created needlessly. But the difference is that as a Christian, here's where me and AOC split ways. As a Christian, although I am commanded to take care of the environment, I am not commanded to force people using the government through socialist taxation policies and practices to get people to take care of the environment. So an example of this would be, I can freely as an individual buy a Tesla, and I can choose not to use carbon emissions or fuel for my car. I can do that completely on my own will, completely based on my own decision. And I could say, as a Christian, someone who cares about, who should care about the environment, and I want to be conscientious about my decisions, I want to get solar power for my house, and I want to get a Tesla car as my vehicle. But here's the thing, though. In both of those decisions, if I want to get solar paneling for my house, I'm rewarded with that financially because I don't have to pay electricity bills. And when I buy a Tesla, I'm rewarded with that as well because I don't have to buy gas. So those are two examples that give me capitalistic reasons to care for the environment. See how that works out? When you have a market that says to an individual, I have a product that will make you save money on gas, well, people will buy it. And this is what's kind of crazy about like the whole going green thing, like all these businesses, they're going green. Well, yeah, they are absolutely going green, but there's financial incentive in that. There's financial incentive in that. If I have a giant facility, let's say something that would have like a massive air conditioning bill, like the airport in Phoenix in the summertime, right? It benefits the airport to place solar panels on the building instead of just running up high electricity bills. It benefits them, and it benefits businesses to invest in new solar power technologies so it's worth the investment and that the people that buy it get an ROI. See how that works? And look, the government hasn't even gotten involved yet. The government hasn't even gotten involved. And so what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wants is she wants to force businesses to become more environmentally conscious. Not good at saying that word. She wants to force businesses to do that. Now, here's what happens when things like that happen. If I force you to put solar panels on your building, if I force you to be carbon neutral, we're not really advancing science and technology and capitalism. We're not advancing those. And so, for example, if I have to get solar panels in order to be compliant with tax regulations or whatever, I'm just going to get whatever cheap solar panels I can find that help me meet the standards, and I'm just going to move on about my day. But if I, as a company or business, desire to save money and to get an ROI on those solar panels, then I'm going to look for the best, most cost-efficient panels I can find. And that's going to force other companies to make better products. That's just how it works. Economics is simple. It's very, very simple. And, you know, it's just amazing to me that she did this. So I actually responded to her, which, you know, how can I pass up Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talking about the book of Leviticus? She's talking about Old Testament law. I can't pass that up. Not in a million years. And so I responded to her and I said, great. I love that you're using the Bible to defend your policy. Now let's use this one verse. Exodus 30:15. The rich shall not give more and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. A half a shekel is $1.25. God hates progressive taxation. He treats all people the same despite wealth. I actually got a pretty significant retweets on there. I was shocked at because I posted it pretty late at night, I think. But that tweet did pretty well. See, here's the problem. She's only going to go to the Bible to get people to support her position. But she's not going to look to the Bible at all. She's not even going to open up the Bible to see if her positions that she's already has in her head are just, holy, and righteous. She's not going to do it. You know, the thing is about her is her story is amazing. She was a bartender that decided to run for Congress and she won. What a nation. She's from a poor family and she runs for one of the highest offices in the land and she wins. One, shame on the people that voted for her, but two, in a broader sense, that should encourage us. Because I was talking to somebody and they were like, oh, you should run for office one day. I'm like, man, if I run for office, they're going to pull my old street preaching videos from 8, 9, 10 years ago and I'm done. And they looked at me and they said, well, Donald Trump and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got elected. And I thought, you know, that is a good point. People are so upset about the political nature of politics that people just aren't real or authentic anymore. That two people can come and they can be real and they can be authentic and they get elected. And I think that should encourage us as Christians. That should encourage us to run for those offices now. All we have to do is stand on the word of God, stand on the authority of Scripture, and God will bless it. We'll come back to that. But first, I definitely want to play this clip since we're talking about AOC and her eschatology. I wanted to make sure we played this clip of her discussing the end of the world. This is her eschatology.
And I think that the part of it that is generational is that millennials and people and, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is your biggest issue is how are we going to pay for it?
Okay. The world is not going to end in 12 years if we don't start looking at climate change. That is just an outright lie. Here's something to consider. God created this world, and he's making new heavens and new earth. He is not going to let this world just be destroyed in 12 years, in 20 years, in 100 years, in 1,000 years. God is actively creating new heavens and new earth. So when we see these global warming eschatological evangelist talking about the end is near, the end is near. All we have to do is look at scripture and go, no, it's not. God's restoring the earth. He's beautifying the earth. He's turning the entire world into the Garden of Eden. So you're wrong. And so that is foundational to this. And I didn't always think this way when it came to like global warming. I just thought it was crazy. And I was like, well, we shouldn't worry about global warming. It's a lie or whatever. And then I saw on Netflix a creationist series. It's not on there anymore. I looked before the show, but it's called Is Genesis History? And one of the scientists in there was asked about global warming. This is I guess he's with Answers in Genesis or something, but he was asked about global warming and he said, well, he's like, oh yeah. I believe that the world is getting warmer. It's turning back into a tropical environment, like the Garden of Eden. It's just resetting itself. And I was like, oh, now I shouldn't get a Tesla and I should get an SUV instead. I mean, let's get this tropical paradise going. But that's an interesting fact though, right? The world's not ending. Maybe the world is getting warmer. Maybe it's because God is resetting the earth back to the environment of the earth pre-flood. Maybe he's resetting the universe, and it takes a long time, and the expansion of the gospel in nations, maybe that helps develop it. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. So, but I think it is important to remember when we have these discussions that God is the sovereign of this world, and he holds the world and all of creation in his strength and in his hand. And he's not going to let it just disappear. The world will continue on. And that's because Christ is king. Let's continue.
And like, this is the war. This is our World War II. And I think for young...
What does that even mean? This is our World War II. We already had a World War II. And we fought in it. Like, it's not like we weren't part of that World War II. So are you saying that, did you mean to say that this was a World War II, another? Should she have said this is World War III? I don't understand.
People were looking at this and we're like, how are we saying let's take it easy when 3,000 Americans died last year? How are we saying let's take it easy when the nth person has just died from our cruel and unjust criminal justice system? How are we saying take it easy when the America that we're living in today is so dystopian, with people sleeping in their cars so that they can work a second job without health care, and we're told to settle down?
She has no right to even talk about how can people be okay when 3,000 people died in a year, when 3,000 people died yesterday because of a policy that she supports. It's disgusting hypocrisy right there. That's disgusting hypocrisy. And this is why we need Christians to stand up and to be involved in politics at a local level so people like her don't get elected in the state of New York. And that brings me to the state of New York. As you guys know, the state of New York just recently passed complete free market abortions. Completely free market. And I said this on my live feed on my Facebook video the other day, but I want to say it again. The pro-abortion movement is libertarian as libertarian can be when it comes to abortion. The pro-life movement is liberal and they want to regulate everything. So think about this now. Think about this. The Republicans and conservatives for the past 40 or 50 years have been implementing pro-life legislation in the state of New York, whether it's a 20-week partial birth ban or or this ban or regulations on clinics to do this or to function in this way or to have, you know, ADA compliant bathrooms, whatever the case may be that the pro-life industry has fought to regulate, it's all gone now. It's all gone now because an employee at McDonald's can perform abortions if they want to now. They just have to get a license. How do you get a license? Who knows? Midwives can give abortions. Nurses can give abortions. And they talk about it being safe, legal, and rare. They never wanted it safe, legal, and rare. They wanted it whenever they wanted it, however they wanted it. They want to kill children. That is what they want to do. The Bible says, thou shalt not murder. And they go, well, you know, we do. We want to murder. Let us murder. And they created a free market system in the state of New York that lets them murder their children whenever they want to. And I feel like the conservative people that are in New York have just given up. They should be rioting the streets right now. They should take their cars to the state capitol and they should park along the streets and they should not let anybody in until they undo that ban. They should be flooding the streets. And you really don't hear a word. But then someone, like my good friend John Speed, does something just on his own. And he says, I saw it yesterday morning. I looked on my Facebook feed. And I saw that John Speed closed his store because it was the day of mourning. And he says, we will not pay taxes to a tyrannical state of New York who wants to murder children on this day. We will reopen tomorrow under duress and continue on with business. So obviously he's still going to pay sales taxes. He has to, but he's only going to do so under duress. And I saw that on his Facebook page for his store, which is John Speed the Book Scout, by the way. And I sent him a message. I was like, John, John, do you have a photo of a sign up in your store that says that? And he was like, yeah. So he sends me a photo and I post it. And it went insane. And I knew that it would. Because it's a perfect storm. It's Christian. It's about abortion. It's a business owner who's protesting against the government. It's all the things the conservatives love. It's all the things the conservative media outlets love to push to promote a sort of fake outrage over something. I say fake because they're not really outraged, but this helps spread an idea that people really are outraged. And I knew that when they saw this, it was going to go crazy. But I didn't know like it was going to go as crazy as it did. It got thousands of shares on just the photo that I posted got, I think it was 4,400 shares last time I looked. FaithWire wrote up an article. All these people wrote up articles. Every conservative news outlet has written about John Speed closing his store. Every conservative news outlet, they've written about this. He was on Glenn Beck, which we'll play that clip in a minute. He was on Glenn Beck. He was, I believe he might be on Hannity. And then he was on The Daily Wire. Ben Shapiro tweeted it. Matt Walsh tweeted it. Every conservative tweeted this. And a lot of them shared babies are murdered here, too, because John talked about that. So that is just a huge blessing. I think we had like 7,000 views of babies are murdered here in one day, which is amazing for a video that's been pretty much just flatlined on YouTube for over, you know, 2 or 3 years. So that was incredible. But it's because a godly man stood up and did something. They stood up and they said, with what God has given me, I'm going to do something. And that's exactly what he did. He shut down the store for a day. And God has blessed him for it. He told me today that he's getting orders, probably about two orders every 2 to 3 minutes, or an order every 2 to 3 minutes. I mean, it's just amazing how God is blessing him. The voicemails he's been given, the Facebook messages he's been given. And this shows me that there is no reason for a Christian to be afraid to be on the controversial side of things. Because there's so many people out there that want to see somebody stand up for what is right, and they don't see it. They don't see it in the conservative news. They don't see it day to day in the conservative news. They don't see it day to day on talk radio. But every now and then, there's a story of somebody who did what's right, and everybody gets excited and fired up. But imagine if all the churches that are signed up within Abortion Now, let's say that there's 300 churches, imagine if those churches got together and they were at the city council meetings every single week. What if those churches got together and found a godly qualified candidate in their church and said, we're going to do everything we can to help you get elected into city council? What if people started shutting down their businesses nationwide to protest the government? Say, we're not going to pay taxes today because we don't agree with what you're doing with them. It's like the Boston Tea Party. It was like the Boston Tea Party. That's what it was for John Speed. That's how people are reacting towards what he did. It's like he threw tea in the Boston Harbor. He threw it right off the boat. And people are excited. Now the question is, will people follow through? And I don't know. I don't know. But I do know one thing. I do know one Bible verse. The more I see our culture, the more I see Christians, especially when I see what's happening with the PCA, the one Bible verse that rings true to me is from Revelation, and it simply says, cowards go to hell. Cowardice is a sin, and God sends cowards to hell. And I think we have a nation of cowards. I think we have a nation of people who like to hear their values repeated, but don't want to be bold enough to do what needs to be done to get their values implemented. And that's a problem. That is a problem. We were just at the March for Life this week, and we heard over and over and over again, I love babies. Yes, I do. I love babies. How about you? I love babies. Yes, I do. I love babies. How about you? Over and over again at the March for Life. And it was so maddening because you realize that these thousands upon thousands of people that are there, mostly Roman Catholics, these thousands upon thousands of people are going to go home and they're just going to continue as normal. It's like a youth concert, right? Go to the youth concert, you hear the praise band, the speaker comes out, and then he starts saying all these amazing things. He gets you pumped up, and then you go back home, and well, you know, school's the next day, so you just go back to life as normal. That's exactly what the March for Life is. It's a giant youth concert to get people pumped up, and then to go back home, and they don't do anything. But I think it's kind of worse than that. Because at least at a lot of youth concerts, they have a goal to point you to Jesus. Whereas the goal of the March for Life is to point you to themselves. Look at what we're doing to end abortion. We've implemented pain acts where if a child can feel pain, they can't have an abortion. We've implemented laws that say up to no abortions after 24 weeks. We've implemented laws that say, no more partial birth abortions, even though that law only stopped an abortion from happening by moving the baby up by 4 inches. It's not a victory. It's not a victory. And so they're going to go home and they're going to say, man, all these pro-life, major pro-life groups are really doing good work. I'm going to keep funding them. And so they're continued to be funded. And nothing changes. And all their laws get wiped away because of one law in New York. So that's why we need more John Speeds. We need more Christians who will do amazing acts of courage that forces the pro-life groups to follow suit. Yesterday, Live Action, National Right to Life, March for Life, Family Research Council, they all shared John Speed's story. They haven't touched Babies Are Murdered Here in 5 years. It took 5 years and one day later for them to finally talk about what John Speed did and link to that film, which they did. Some of them did. Some of them cut that part out because they know what that film's out. But it slipped through. The movie was on the Daily Wire. The movie was all over the place. People saw Babies Are Murdered Here yesterday. And it was amazing because of one man. And the National Right to Life, the March for Life, the Family Research Council, they all had to share this story. Because if they didn't, they would have been irrelevant. And that is what we need to do. We need to stand up and make the stories happen. We need to make the stories happen. Because when we stand up and make these stories happen, everybody else has to follow suit to be relevant. This is how you change the conversation. This is how you, as a Christian, control the culture. And you don't give it to the liberals. You don't give it to Fox News. You don't give it to MSNBC or the Daily Wire. You have them get it from you. And that is why we need Christians to go to their city councils and to make change happen. This is why we need Christians to shut down their businesses. This is why we need Christians storming the streets demanding an end to abortion. Because when we do that, we make the stories happen and they report about what we're doing. So thank you, John Speed. Thank you, brother. Thank you for taking that weight upon yourself, for letting me share it, and for just having your church come around you to help you fulfill all those orders you got. What? I'm sorry for that burden. I'm sorry that for the next 3 days, you're going to be locked in that bookstore packing and shipping all these orders that you're getting. I apologize. But thank you for taking a stand, man. Again, John Speed stood up and he got more orders than he's ever had in a single day. Chick-fil-A stood up and the lines were out the door. When Christians stand up for what is true, God blesses them. God blesses them. And when our nation, as one church, comes together and we say, we demand an end of abortion, God's going to bless that. God's not going to ignore that or let that go unnoticed. God's going to bless it. But we have got to stop being cowards. And we got to be willing to sacrifice our businesses, sacrifice our health, and our prosperity. We have got to be willing to do it. So, anyways, That's it for this episode of Law and Profits. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for just tuning in and watching and sharing this episode. I hope you shared the episode. Please share the episode. Now's a good time. You've seen everything. You can approve of it. I don't know why you waited this long, but if you haven't shared it, now is a great time. It's also a great time to sign up for the Fight Laugh Feast Club. If you go to crosspolitik.com, I'm assuming that's the address, crosspolitik.com, and you can sign up for the club membership. Sign up for the club membership. I just got off the phone with the Chocolate Knox, and they're working on some like behind the scenes stuff with I can't talk about it. They're working on some really good behind the scenes stuff. And you're going to want to have access to that, but you can only have access to it if you join the club. So sign up for Fight, Laugh, Feast Club. And thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you for all your comments while you watch. And thank you for just joining me to talk about these things. It means a lot. Your time is very valuable, and I don't take it for granted at all. So until next week.